Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Thursday, July the 30th, 2015. If you're just joining us for the first time, my name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, an independent Reading fan site and blog, and I'm joined as always by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello.
Dan, how you doing?
I am not so bad, mate. It's been a long time since we spoke. What, 3-4 weeks ago now?
I know. It does seem like a long time ago. Plenty happened since then, and unbelievably, we're only, 8 days away from the start of the new season.
I can't believe it. It snuck out of nowhere. The last time we spoke, I said about 4 weeks ago, you were getting ready to go to Thailand. I was about to jet off to Jamaica on a honeymoon. It was only when I was over there and I looked at the TV and they've got the Asia Trophy on, and I'm thinking, that's too early for friendlies. And then you realise it's actually the middle of July and the season's kicking off soon, and just brings it all in. And now we've only got one friendly to go, and then it's Birmingham.
I know, that's it. Just Espanyol at the weekend, and then it's all set for revenge at St Andrews after what happened last season.
Absolutely. Well, before we get to that, we'll go back to the start. Well, we'll go back to that Thailand tour, because you were on board. You were with the squad over there. First of all, before we get to the game against the Thailand All-Stars, what was the experience like?
It was brilliant. I honestly could not say a bad word about it. I thought it was, when I went over there, I was a bit sort of umming and ahhing about what it was going to be like. I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, the whole build up to it had been not fast, that's too hard a word, but you know, there'd been a lot of umming and ahhing about when the games were going to be played, who they were going to be playing. They were trying to get a game in Malaysia. It didn't happen, and it didn't fill you with confidence for the whole tour, if you see what I mean. I wasn't convinced that I was going to get over there and it was going to be a spectacular success, but it was. It was fantastic. And all of my fears about how it was going to be run and the organisation just completely went out the window straight away from as soon as we arrived. It was just brilliant from start to finish. The owners, the sponsors, everyone who was involved in running the tour made it a fantastic event. It ran very smoothly. It couldn't have been better for Reading. And, you know, Reading did themselves proud as well. Everyone stood up in front of the cameras, did what they had to do for Time Media and everything, even though they were absolutely exhausted. I mean, within a couple of hours of setting foot off the plane, they were suddenly in just the most remarkable press conference I think I've ever been at, certainly in terms of Reading. I've never been anything like it before, with cameras just everywhere. I got smashed on the head by a camera, and it was just bizarre. I mean, I don't know what it would be like if, you know, Arsenal, Man United and that lot are over there, but given how bustling and busy and hectic it was just for Reading, I mean, it's just, football is huge over there. They can't get enough of it, and they really welcome Reading well, and Reading were excellent visitors, and they gave a very good account of themselves. And yeah, I can't speak highly enough of the tour. I thought it was fantastic. I left very, very impressed by the owners.
Well, one question I was going to just ask you before we talk about the game about the owners. We spoke on the main edition of the show, which you can go and find up on thetarlhurstend.com, recorded it last week. I asked Westy and Johnny, I said, are you more comfortable and optimistic about the ownership after all of the fuss and all of the press on the Thailand? So obviously you were there and got to see them face to face. Are you more comfortable? Are you more optimistic about this ownership group after this tour?
Absolutely. 100% more comfortable with it. I thought they were going, obviously they were putting on their best face, weren't they? It's the first time they've really sat down and been grilled by the media, certainly by the English media. And they were great. And they sat down, I spoke to Narian, I spoke to Sumriff, who is goes by the name Tiger, which is a great name. And obviously we spoke to Sasima before, and they couldn't have been more welcoming. They were honest, they were open, they spoke at length about us, they didn't shirk any questions. And you know, when the microphone wasn't turned on as well, they were great. They couldn't be more charming. They knew everything about me. I couldn't believe it. I was actually a bit freaked out by it as soon as I got there.
Done their homework.
They had honestly done their homework. I couldn't believe the sort of stuff they knew and everything. And so, I mean, they're obviously very thorough. And when I did speak to them about the club, I really got the sense that they were, you know, they were very keen on doing things the right way. And obviously they were looking at things outside football, which emerged, obviously, the talk about the possible complex being built at the Madstad, which is something that's been rumbling on for a while. We've heard rumours about it, and they finally confirmed it when we got the chance to speak to them. And so there's obviously they're putting a lot of focus into trying to generate income for the club away from football, because I think they see at the moment that's the only way the club's really going to progress and move forward, is by generating other income streams, because just from football, unless they get promotion to the Premier League, the club's not going to be able to thrive and not going to be able to grow because of the income. And so they're looking at other ways of doing it, and they seem like they're in it for the long haul. It doesn't seem like it's a complete short haul option, and they're just here to make money. So I feel much better about it, but obviously you've got to err with a side of caution. I'm sure after about 6 months of the Anton Zingarevich reign, everyone was feeling pretty good about that, and we all know what happened there.
Yeah, I was going to say he was never afraid to get in front of the cameras or talk about grand ambitions for the stadium, things like that either. So
they're not really talking about grand ambitions. That's the thing, sort of grand ambitions about whacking another 20,000 seats on the stadium or anything like that. It's kind of focusing on making money elsewhere. And I know some football fans will be a bit worried about that. Like, are they in it just to make money out of the land and stuff like that? But I suppose at the end of the day, if the club is going to grow, that is really one of the only ways that they're going to generate income is by making money outside of football, because you don't make any money in the Championship. All you do is lose money.
No.
And unless you've been fortunate enough to have a dream season and get themselves into the Premier League, then why would owners sort of sit around for ages losing money? They're just not going to do that, especially owners who aren't Anton Zingarevich. He didn't have any money, but Roman Abramovich, and can afford to lose cash. These guys, they're rich and far richer than you and I will probably ever be, ever dream to be. But they're not walking in money. They can't afford to just keep throwing it away. So they have to look at ways to start making money. They're obviously doing that.
And the financial fair play rules stop that, at least in theory anyway, although Queen's Park Rangers have got something to say about that through the courts in the coming weeks. But no, you just can't throw money at it. And the other point is as well, people might moan and say, oh, why have we got, two different shirt sponsors and things like that, and we're going all the way out to Thailand for friendlies and things like that. If it comes down to the fact that these sort of initiatives earn them the money to keep players at the stadium, because don't forget, under Sir John Medeski, we were having to sell the Shane Longs, the Gylfi Sigurdssons, just to fill the annual black hole in the account. If things like this go some way to stop that, then they can plaster whatever they want on the shirts. It's the people within them that I care about.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any way of stopping that now. It's the way football's gone, is it? It's all about sponsorship. I mean, you look at Reading now, they've got Thai Airways on the back, they've got Carabao on the front, they've got Waitrose on the back, they've got Legend Alliance on the back of the shorts. I mean, it's almost looking like beginning to look like an American football shirt, but it's the way it's going. It's money, isn't it? That is football. Love it or hate it. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Well, they did tie in the commercial aspect of the tour, obviously, with a game against the Thailand All Stars. A 2-2 draw. Obviously, I wrote a column up on the website a few weeks ago. I don't pay too much attention to preseason results, and I sort of have to grit my teeth and get through it. But a decent workout. I sort of saw the goals. Looked a decent outing for Reading. Anything stand out from that game?
Yeah, no, it was a good game. I wasn't sure what I was going to sort of see from that one, but I thought Reading played well. Played well in the first half. They were absolutely knackered by the end of it. And I'm not surprised. It was roasting. I can't even describe how hot it was. Admittedly, I was where we were sitting. Just so bizarre. We had to try and get Wi-Fi in this stadium. There was no Wi-Fi anywhere. It was an absolute nightmare. There was one room that had some, and so we had to sit ourselves outside it on the bench, but unfortunately that room was air conditioned, but where we were sitting was behind the air conditioning unit, so instead of pumping cold air into the room, it was pumping the hot air out of the room directly onto our backs. And it was already 35 degrees, but it must have been about 50-55 degrees with those fans on, I say.
And you said they knew a lot about you coming into this, Charles. Is this some sort of coincidence?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So it was furnace like weather, and the Thais were in the middle of their season, Reading were at the start of theirs, so it was no surprise that after about sort of 50-55 minutes the Thais began to get in control of that one. But fair play to Reading, they came back. Pod came off the bench, got his goal, and I think a draw was the fair result. It was a perfect result as well at the end of what had been a very good tour. I think that to finish the match all square and it to be a bit sort of high scoring game in front of a decent crowd, in front of the owners as well, and being on TV, I don't think the game could have gone any better, really.
No, 3/4 games since they've come back to the UK. They played Tottenham behind closed doors in a game won by a goal by Christian Eriksen, in a game I don't think any of us knew about beforehand. It was only as soon as the result came out we knew it was happening.
Doesn't count in my mind. I've already told you that.
Yeah, that's because it's Tottenham, isn't it?
That might have something to do with it. But no, I think that it's got to be go down as a sort of training games, I think.
With people like Christian Eriksen playing, though.
I know, I was a big, decent team playing by the sounds of it, but I don't know, I just don't think how we can class a game as a pre-season friendly when you don't let anyone in to watch it. It's just,
Yeah, I'd rather take the heart from losing 1-0 to Tottenham than the 1-0 defeat to Crawley, which we'll come on to in just a second. But Bristol Rovers and Swansea in the middle there, a win at Bristol Rovers, 2-0, and then a 1-0 draw with Swansea at Wickham. Anything from those couple of games? Obviously, Bristol Rovers, for me, it was Tarek Fosu's performance that stood out.
Yeah, again, and to be fair, in Thailand as well, in that game at Thai All-Stars, I thought it was very good. In that game, the threat was always down the left, and he continued that when he got to Bristol Rovers. Two really good assists. I thought the assist for the first goal was very good, actually, as well. So that came out of it. Dominic Samuel obviously got his goal, which was good for him, because he probably knows he needs a big pre-season if he wants to have any sort of chance this year at the Mad Stad. And he got his goal, took it nicely, sort of calmly, after his first shot was saved. And Nick Blackman, I suppose, the other person to come out of it. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk
about
him.
Loves playing Swansea.
He does love scoring belters against Swansea as well, doesn't he? Unfortunately, I actually missed a goal. I had my head down trying to desperately sort out some usual Wi-Fi issues that just plagued my pre-season so far, and I think just make me dread the season as a whole. But, he's done well. He's obviously the subject of a lot of debate on social media and everything like that. Nick Blackman, he always will be, divides opinion, but he can't really have done much more in this pre-season to stake his claim for Birmingham. He scored some good goals, shown some nice finishes for all of them. So I think he's really been the talk of pre-season, really. He's just the former Blackman. Like you said, I don't take any real attention, pay any attention to the games and the results. It's just all about getting fitness up, and it's no big deal if you lose every pre-season game or if you win every pre-season game. The important thing that matters is on August the 8th at Birmingham.
And as others have said, Reading lost to Farnborough and then went on to win the league with 106 points.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter a tick. On Nick Blackman, it's been the subject of fierce debate, as you said, mostly sparked by an interview you did with him on Get Reading, where he said he doesn't have anything to prove to anyone. This got the backs up of quite a few Reading fans. We had a debate up on the thetylersend.com, and the poll, like you said, is pretty much split, almost 50-50. A little bit more in the anti-Blackman camp than the pro. Where do you stand? Not so much on the pro or against, but do you think he has something to prove?
I'd say he has something to prove, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, obviously, he obviously doesn't think so, but I think most fans would think otherwise. And I think he does. He hasn't really nailed down a starting spot since moving to Reading. So I think you've got to say he's got something to prove. I do actually think Nick Blackman's a decent player, and I think he's got a fair amount of quality. The only big issue with him is that he doesn't produce it enough. You know, we've seen flashes of it since he's arrived here. He scored some very good goals. He's suddenly sort of burst into life and shown a lovely bit of skill and sort of skinned his defender, finished well, but he just doesn't do it enough. So I think he's definitely got something to prove. But he's very confident person. It's like just before I spoke to him for that interview, actually, I was speaking to Steve Clark about him, and Steve was saying he was happy with the goal and that he'd scored, and he actually said it was a line like, hopefully that should give him confidence. Actually, what am I talking about? He's a confident lad anyway, he doesn't need that. And it's exactly that, you know. And I think he is a confident person. He believes in his ability, and I think that interview, maybe it was taken the wrong way in a way, because he didn't, when he was actually saying it to me, he didn't come across as arrogant or anything like that. It was just what he was saying, like, I don't think I've got anything to prove, I believe my ability and all that. So I think it was maybe taken a little bit the wrong way, but I can see why it got some fans backs up.
Yeah, well, at least he's confident. And I said, and to be a striker, you do need that confidence and that little bit of swagger. Obviously, it helps him when he's taking penalties, because he takes a great penalty. Moving on to the final pre-season game so far. As you said, we've got Espanyol to come on Saturday even. It was away at Crawley, not the best of games. A 1-0 defeat, notable only really for a little bit of a gaffe from Ali El Habsi in the Reading goal, where letting a swerving 25-yard drive go through his hands, really. Anything else? Do you take much heart from that? Do you think that's going to play on Steve Clark's mind when it comes to picking between him and Jonathan Bond?
I'm not sure. I think Al Habsi's going to start at Birmingham, but I was just doing a little piece downstairs, actually, on it. And one of the things I was talking about was maybe that position is still up for grabs for Birmingham. You'd say that Al Habsi, if I put money on it now, I'd lay my money on Al Habsi is going to be playing in that game, and Bond will be on the bench. But maybe, I mean, I didn't go to the Crawley game. I said now I had a 2-day sports seminar up in Preston, sports journalism seminar in-house up at Preston this week, so I wasn't at that. Jonathan was there, and I haven't even seen the goal yet. He said that maybe Al Habsi should have saved it,
But yeah, he should save it.
Should he? So yeah, it was an error. And to be honest, I have thought he's looked a touch nervy throughout preseason. He certainly loves a sort of a camera save. You'll see him sort of flinging himself to across, and sometimes think maybe did you need to do that? And some crosses have come in, and I'm not sure about the way he's sort of how confident he's looked coming out to gather and punch. But I think the fact that Clark's brought him in and given him a 2-year contract, I think for me, he's in his mind that Al-Habsi is certainly going to start the season as number one.
Yeah, and then I think he starts the season, but he's on a short leash, as in if he has a few ropey outings, it's not going to take much to get Bond in the team. Because, you know, they made a 2-year investment, but it's not a long, long-term investment. It's not like they've said, you're going to be our goalkeeper for the next 10 years. Whereas I do get that feeling with Bond that is a more of a long-term signing, especially because they've got some promising goalkeepers behind him anyway. They obviously think a lot of him.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I was really impressed by Bond when I saw him over in Thailand. I thought he did well in the match, but I thought I spent a lot of time watching training while I was over there, you know, basically sitting in the dugout watching training for a couple hours each day. And he was really impressive. He made some really good saves. And when I spoke to him as well, he comes across as a decent guy with his head screwed on, and he's very ambitious. And I'm not surprised Clark's moved over to get him. And I mean, it's big words, wasn't it, when Clark signed him? He said he was signed one of the most talented young keepers in England. And hopefully, if he can go on and prove that and live up to those words, then like you said, he could be a goalkeeper for a very, very long time.
Yeah, well, both of those new additions to the squad over the summer. Obviously, since we've spoken as well, we've had the deals confirmed for Stephen Quinn, Paul McShane and Orlando Saar as well. We only saw a little bit. Obviously, he went at Crawley, so I won't ask you too much on Saar. But general thoughts on the impact of those three. Happy with them?
Yeah, I'm happy with the signings. I think they're very good signings. I think I was delighted with Stephen Quinn. I think McShane, I haven't really seen too much of McShane because he's been nursing a little bit of a knock as well. And I haven't seen anything of Saar. But, you know, I think they're definitely good signings. They add to the squad. But I don't think anyone's in any doubt that more needs to be done between now and the end of the transfer window. I think they've done the majority of their work now. They got a bulk of players in, but like Clark says, three would be an ideal number. Now, I think Nigel Howe was talking about two strikers over, wanting to get at least sort of two more strikers in when I was over in Thailand with him. But Clark seems to be more of the now looking at one defender, one midfielder, one attacker, just adding, sort of strengthening in all areas. And I'm not sure if they will stick with two now. I wouldn't be surprised if it is one more striker. But like I said, new signings have done well. They've fit in. They've bolstered the squad. But there is more work to be done. This squad still needs improving. If Redden have any sort of sniff at a promotion push this season, they've got to add some more.
Yeah, and Steve Clarke's shown he's not afraid to go into the loan market, especially with Premier League teams. And the thing with that, obviously, is a lot of them have been on pre-season tours where they've needed a lot more bodies, and they've obviously got to set their squad, their 25-man squad at the end of the window. You could obviously, well, personally, I can see a lot of business being done that way, as we saw with the likes of Chalobah and Ake last season. I think that's an area he might go down. Has he given any hints that he might be leaning back towards the loan market?
Well, whenever we talk about the loan market, he sort of says, look, that there's a time for that. But at the moment, we're talking about permanent. So
yeah.
I think once the transfer window shuts, and I think that's when you'll really see the sort of loan deals start happening. He doesn't seem to be in any rush to do it. I think he'll certainly utilise that market, and he will go in and add to the squad once the window shut. But he'll wait until sort of September and onwards, I think, before, unless something falls into his lap and he's offered, you know, unless Chelsea suddenly say, look, you can have Chalobah for the season right now, you know, I'm sure he'd snap his hand off for that. But I don't think he's any great rush to move into the loan market. I think he's very much looking at permanent at the moment.
No, and two names that have been mentioned on a permanent basis. One's Robert Berich, and the other is a name that came more out of the blue, Ahmed Akachi. I think that's what I'm going to go with anyway.
I'll go with that.
Akachi especially, this one seemed random to me because it just happened the other day. I think it was Tuesday morning, might have been Wednesday now. I've lost all sense of time in the week. Basically, reports appearing on social media, on his own Facebook page, him posing with members of the Reading squad, him posing at the Medeski Stadium, and him with our illustrious director of football, Nick Hoffman. Presumably.
The Hoff.
Presumably meaning Nick Hammond. But all those pictures, you sort of thought, well, he must be quite in there, because you don't pose shaking hands with the director of football unless you've certainly got something. It's not just if you're popping by to see the facilities anyway. But it turns out that he was just on trial. At least that's the official line at the moment. Could you see this one moving, or do you think this is dead in the water?
I'd be very surprised if this happens. You know, I think he came over there, they had a look. I think he's on a bit of a tour of clubs at the moment as well. I don't think Redden the only club he's been at this summer, and I think he'll continue to have a look around various other teams. But yeah, all the word that I get is that I think this one, it's not happening. Maybe further down the line, if Redden have sort of run into plenty of dead ends between now and the end of August and he's still available, it might be something they really look at. But for the moment, I think that one's you can probably chalk that one off the list.
And Berić, anything there? Obviously, it's been a bit more of a long running one, this.
Yeah, it's a long running one. You get the sense the longer it runs, the least likely it is to happen. Just, I saw he scored, didn't he, against Ajax last night in the was it Champions League or Europa League? One of the two.
Yeah, I think Champions League.
It was a Champions League qualifier. And oh yeah, it was definitely because Ajax won the title last year, didn't they? You just wonder. I think if Redden were going to get him, it would have been at the start of the season when his name wasn't quite so prevalent all around Europe. But I think now it's going to... It might happen, you never know. But unless Redden suddenly whacking close to a 5 million offer, which is what it seems like Rapid Vienna are after. And I don't think they're going to lower that valuation when he's scoring key goals from against Ajax in the Champions League, that you get the sense that one may well just prove to be a little bit too expensive for him.
Yeah, it's interesting as well to see Lasse Vibe go to Brentford.
Yeah, for $1 million as well, Redden bid more than that in January.
They must have really gone cold on that one, because he said a good price.
Yeah, very good price. Well, from what I was told by a journalist over in Sweden, that Clark flew over at the end of our season. I think they were still playing. He definitely went and watched the game towards the end of our season, and watched Vibe play it, and decided then that he wasn't going to pursue it. So he was obviously made a call early doors that, you know, what he liked in January he didn't like anymore, and moved on. So
fair enough.
It's strange when you see £1 million, though, isn't it? And you just kind of dread seeing him banging 20 goals or something this season for Brentford.
Yeah, I remember when Reading had Bradley Wright Phillips and they were about to sign him. And then they said, oh, no, we're not going to sign him. We're too worried about his knee. And then you went to Charlton a couple of months later and just started banging him in. You're thinking, oh. But, oh, well. In terms of outs, not a lot. Aaron Cole flying over to Mallorca for a loan deal. Again, seems a little bit out of left field, but actually seems to really fit his style, as far as I'm concerned.
I think a great move for him. Fair play to him as well. He could have easily taken an easy option and dropped down to sort of League One or League Two or something like that. But he's gone over somewhere where I presume he doesn't know Spanish, and so he's gone well outside his comfort zone. And fair, I think it's a fantastic move for him, and it'll really develop him into a better player. So I really hope it works out, and they can get this deal done. And I think it's a great move.
I can't get over the image of Mallorca fans seeing his picture on Twitter and thinking they're signing David Luiz.
Yeah.
The media hype that comes with it. But another player who might have caught the eye and has, I suppose, been linked with the move away for a long time now, whispers anyway. Gareth McCleary had a fantastic summer with Jamaica, obviously alongside Michael Hector, getting to that Gold Cup final. They had a bit of a final to forget losing to Mexico, especially poor Michael Hector. But any news on McCleary possibly moving on? Obviously, we've had Premier League whispers for a while now. Is there any strength in them?
Not that I'm aware of. There's been interest for a long time in Gareth. I think Gareth's injury last summer, back injury, may well have been the only thing that ended up keeping him at the club last summer. I think he could well have gone if it wasn't for that problem. But since then, I haven't really heard much. I mean, obviously, it was fairly easy links on the internet and stuff like that. Once he's doing well over in the Copa America, isn't it, where his stock's high, he probably got an agent putting his name out and about and linking him with various clubs. But I haven't heard anything's in the offing there, and it'd be a disaster in my mind if he was to go. I mean, he didn't have a great season last season, but he's still Reading's most creative player in my mind, the most exciting player, and he's fit now as well. Last season, you know, pre-season, he missed all of that, came in halfway through the year, and it's very tough to get in a rhythm, but he's fit now and ready to go, and Reading should resist all offers for him, as far as I'm concerned, barring a spectacular.
Oh yeah, very
bid.
Very much agreed. I just wondered as well, has Steve Clark mentioned anything about when he might have Hector and McCleary back? Obviously, they only finished the tournament last Sunday.
No, well, he didn't rule them out of playing at Birmingham.
Really?
He said he'll have a look. They're going to come back fit, and you know they're going to be fully up to speed. And given that they played under him last season, he said that they'll know exactly what to expect from him and stuff. So he definitely didn't rule them out of playing at Birmingham. I think they're back now. they're here now. I don't know if they'll be involved tomorrow at the open day or if they've got a couple of days off, but they're back in the country and you've got to think they're fully fit. So why not? If they return to training next week, and why not play them at Birmingham?
Well, yes, I really wouldn't play them against Espanyol. I'll give them that week off, but certainly at least on the bench you'd want them involved. And just before we move on, the only other rumoured out is our favourite player to discuss on both this show and the other one, Hal Robson-Kanu. I sat there saying myself, reading Hal Robson-Kanu to Swansea for $4 million. I almost phoned up the airline, asked to come back, and I offered to drive him there myself. Unfortunately, the deal didn't seem to be accepted or wasn't made. What happened in this one, Charles?
From what I understand, no bids have been made for him this summer. I think Swansea, from what I understand, he may well be on the sort of periphery of any interest that they may have in adding to their front line, to their attacking department. But I've certainly not been told that any bids being received for Reading, and certainly not been told of them sort of demanding £4 million for him. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. Obviously, we haven't really seen him play any of this pre-season. He's had an injury. He got injured in that behind closed doors friendly at Tottenham, obviously leading to speculation that it was a quote injury.
A Jimmy Cabot injury.
Exactly. But I put that to Clark after the Wickham game, and he was insistent that wasn't the case. It was actually an injury, and he should be back sort of around for the Birmingham game. So no, as far as I'm aware, he's still very much a Reading player, and I'm not really sure that's going to change in the 4 weeks leading up to August. And, you know, if he ends the transfer window as a Reading player, then they've got to find a way of getting the best out of him, because we know he can play. You know, yeah. he's a good player. He can do it on the international stage, and he can score goals. And they've just got to find a way of utilising him best and getting the best out of him.
Well, he's got to get the best out of himself, because this is the last year of his contract.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's a big year for him. He's out of contract at the end of this season. Sort of looking at it as a whole, would you imagine he's going to stay beyond this season if Reading don't sell him? Can you see him signing a new one?
Not unless they get promoted.
Exactly. And so it's a big season for him. He's playing for his future and possibly a future move. So he doesn't really want to just have another year of being in and out of the side, not really scoring any goals. If he wants to get himself a decent move that he always seems to talk about in the press, then he's going to have to do it this season.
Absolutely. Well, the few other issues I wanted to discuss, but we're running a bit long time-wise, so I'll save them for next week. I'll get your thoughts on who should line up at Birmingham ahead of that game. Obviously, just, as you said, just, was it 9 days now to the big kickoff?
I know. Well, we're having a debate in the office today about actually how many days that is. People are saying, some people are saying nine, some people are saying eight.
Do you include the day you're on?
Exactly. I've been over this conversation so many times today. I've plumped for eight, so I've gone for 8 days.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, well, eight, 9 days on your perspective. Basically, it's a week Saturday.
It is. Can you believe it?
No. Got to go through it all again. Got to find out where I put my season ticket. Maybe I'll just leave it lost. Right, that just about wraps it up. Charles, what can we look forward to, as I said, in this final week before the season? What have we got coming up on Get Reading?
Well, it's all systems going. Obviously, we've got the Espanyol game to get out of the way. But then from next week onwards, it's all systems go to the new season. So plenty of build-up, lots of previews, everything like that. And yeah, all systems go to St Andrews.
When will you be web chatting this season? Are you sticking the same?
Yeah, it will be Fridays. I'm not going to do one tomorrow, though, because I think I'm down at the training ground at the stadium for the open day. And so I'm
very nice.
Out and about it, talking to some of the players and the manager and possibly some of the fans as well. So I think we'll have a week off the web chat this week, and then we'll have the big pre-Birmingham extravaganza next Friday.
There you go, folks. An extra reason for you to go down to the open day. Charles will sign autographs for you after his stunning appearance on the Thai tour and whatnot. So extra reason to get yourself down to the Medeski. We will chat to you next week. Hopefully, as I said, you can check out plenty more fan content analysis up on thetalesden.com, and check out our other podcast as well. A bit more of a pub chatty feel. We do that every week with myself, Westy and Johnny and a few other cast over the season. Again, if you subscribe to us on iTunes, you'll get this show and that one straight to whatever device you choose. So I very much encourage you to go over there. Charles, I said thanks very much for joining us. I'll chat to you next week, and we'll kick off the prediction league.
So no, I'm going to win it this year.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to try and hold on to that crown.
No. I'm making up for the disaster of last year.
We will see. Charles, as I said, thank you very much. Have a cracking week, and speak to you next week.
All right, Dan. Take it easy, mate.
Cheers.
Soon.
Take care. Ta-da.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@thetarlhurstend
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.